Today's daf in Masechet Sukkah, brought to you from Eretz HaKodesh, is daf Lamed Hey, and we're holding at that Halakha Mishnah on daf Lamed Dalet Amud Beis. And with us today is even someone from a previous generation wearing what used to be, I don't know how many of you remember, it used to be the United States of America. Was a wonderful place where there was freedom and intelligence, and he's wearing a flag to commemorate. It's good to keep it in people's mind that there was such a place and that there was always a chance for Esav until it was destroyed. But anyway, look, no, that's what the Navi said to Chatchila. So we're holding at the Halakha Mishnah on Daf Lamed Dalet Amud Beit. Etrog. So now we're finally up to the Etrog. We've gone through the various minin, and we're holding by the Etrog. Etrog ha-gazul v'hayavesh pasul, exactly the same as the others. And soon we're going to get to, as Rashi points out, those things that appear only by the Etrog and nowhere else. And so we have these things were by all of the minin. Gozul yavesh is pasul. Shel Asherah v'shel Iran Yidachas is possible in all cases because we need a shear. We don't have a shear. Shel Orla. Oh, here we go. So Etrog obviously has an entirely different issue, and that is that it's a fruit. Since it's a fruit, it's ro'oi to be Oser Mitzad Orla. And indeed, if the Etrog is Orla, it's possible. It's not clear what that psul is. Is it because it's inedible? Is it because it's usur bahana'ah? Well, continues the Mishnah, shel trumat me'ah, it's also possible. Now, trumat me'ah is certainly worth money because it can be burned as fuel. Nonetheless, it says it's possible. Shel truma tehora, it's best not to be noted lechatchila for some reason. We'll have to figure out why not. Maybe because it's not yours, or is this true? Even if you're a Kohen, it seems to be saying, what would be wrong with using truma tehora, which is roi for you to eat, it is your money? We'll have to figure that out. Lo yitol v'im natal kasher. How about, and this is also something unique for an etrog, how about if it was purchased from an Amoritz? So it's an Etrog Shel Dmai. What's the halacha? Beit Shammai poslim u'Beit Hillel machshirim. How about if it's Meiser Sheni in Yerushalayim, which is mutter to eat? So nonetheless, it says lo yitol for some reason. V'im natal kasher. Again, we'll have to figure that out. Now here's another thing which is unique to an Etrog, and that is altach hazazit al rubo. Now this chazazit is a type of skin disease, which is like a human boil or something on the skin, and it's raised above the skin surface. And this is not to be confused with the brown spots that you, or the brown little parts that you find on the etrog, where over there. It's not, that's not called raised above the surface. And furthermore, it's not a disease. The chazazit is a skin disease. The brown spots, which are called in Yiddish, they call them bletlach. So the bletlach are part of the normal way that an etrog develops because of its being rubbed against the leaves of the tree or thorns from the tree. Because of that, it's not considered to be a problem in most of the places on the etrog. Okay, we'll talk about the details a little bit later, but just to make it clear that a chazazit, the mefarshim bring, that nowadays we rarely see a chazazit, a real chazazit on an etrog. It's extremely rare. Okay, continuing. So if you have this chazazit, which is on rov of the etrog, and we'll see how we define rov of the etrog. So alta chazazit al rubo, or nitla pitmato. So again, the pashtus of nitla pitmato is the stick on top of the etrog, and not the part of the etrog that's attached to the to the actual tree. Although we'll see that Rashi has a pshat that indeed it is considered to be also a psul if the oketz, that means the part where it was attached to the tree, it's considered to be the same as the dog. Okay, so Rashi later on is going to tell us that there's an approach to pitmato which includes the part of the oketz, which is the stem. And that is the part that goes deep into the etrog. But Papashtas, everybody else learns, and Rashi's own Rebbe learned, that the pitam refers to the pitam. Now, just to know that the pitam, which people usually refer to as that, you know, the little rounded thing on top, is really not called the pitam. The technical term for that is the shoshanta. And if just the shoshanta was removed, but the stick part that goes into the etrog is there, then it's not possible, according to almost anyone, although it's preferred to have it there. So the Ramah says, look, if you can have an esrog, which is just as mehuter as the esrog you have, and it should also have the shoshanta, not what is called the pitam, which includes the sharp piece of wood that goes into the etrog, but the shoshanta, it's better to have a shoshanta. But if the other etrog without the shoshanta is more mehuter than the etrog with the shoshanta, then it's not considered to be kedai to go for the shoshanta. Yehuda, welcome back. We're very happy you decided to skip school today and hope that this will be your behavior on a permanent basis, although your father might not approve. So this is the two parts of what people refer to as the pitam. Really, there's the pitam and the shoshanta. And that's the nitla pitmato. How about if the etrog was peeled? Now, what do we mean when we say niklaf? It's peeled. We don't mean the actual skin of the etrog, which is considered to be part of the etrog, and then it would be an etrog chaser. It would be possible. Because, as we'll see, a chaser, even a slightly chaser, is possible. What we're referring to over here is the outside shiny part that covers the skin, not the colored skin. And if that was peeled, we'll see that there's a nafkamina of how much of it was peeled. So if it was peeled, or if it was split, or if it had a hole in it. Let's say somebody put a needle into it. So if it was had a hole, a needle into it, but it was also chaser kosher, it wasn't just that there was a hole, but that it lost a little bit of its actual flesh, in all of those cases, it's possible. But if alta chazazit al miyuto, if it was nital uktso, again, which bepashtus means the stem that connects it to the tree was missing, which we'll see that halacha lemaisa were machmir, like the other pshat that Rashi brings, that if the oketz was missing all the way into the etrog, so that what was left at the bottom was a hole in which a sum of the actual piece of the etrog that's b'churba to the oketz was missing, then it would be possible. And when it says nitel oktso, it means the outside part of the stem was missing. That's when it's kosher. Or if it just had a hole in it with a needle, but lo chaser koshu, so this is one thing, nike v'chaser koshu versus nike v'lo chaser koshu. So nike v'lo chaser koshu is kosher. How about an etrog, which is an etrog hakushi, which Rashi learns means literally an etrog that comes from Ethiopia. But, I mean, in any event, it's referring to a black-colored etrog. But most learned just means a black etrog. V'hayorok ikharti, or an etrog that is green, like yarok, of course, can mean in Hebrew yellow. So in order to establish that we're talking about green, we say over here it's yarok kikarti. So it's the type of color that is of Esrog that's not going to mature into yellow because it was picked too early from the tree. So then it's chaser, as we said before. There's no gemar pri there. So Rabbi Meir is makshir, and Rabbi Yehuda is posel, as we talked early, because it has to be a pre-shulling, according to Rabbi Yehuda. Shior etrog katan. What's the absolute minimum of an etrog? Rabbi Meir omer ke'egos, and Rabbi Yehuda omer ke'beitza. And again, we defined this earlier as being a chisaron in the shleimut of the gidol of the pri, according to Rabbi Yehuda, and therefore it's possible in the same way that kikarti is possible. What's the maximum size of an etrog? Begadol, kidei she'ocheh shnayim biyado. You should be able to hold two etrogim at the same time in your hand. This we discussed was because of the fear that maybe if it's too big and there's not room for you to be able to support it while you're transferring the lulav to your other hand, it could fall. And that was the basis of it. Divrei Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says, afilu echad b'shtei yadav, even if it takes two hands to hold the etrog, it would still be kosher. And he's not worried about this this question of the gezerah of falling. Now, the question over here is that if your etrog is the size of a watermelon, and we'll see later on, we'll talk about etrogim that were carried over one shoulder, you know, in a backpack. So the question is, over there, if you need both your hands to hold your watermelon, how in the world do you also hold your lulav? And so as we're going to see, there's the question is whether you need to be able to take all the arba minim at one time, or you could take them one after the other. So most of the Rishonim understand that. Of course, Rabbi Yossi is taking for granted that the halacha is you don't have to have it in your hands at the same time. And that actually is the way the Vahag Paskins, the halacha, that you could take them one at a time. We'll see whether you have to have all of them in your rishus at the same time and so on, that we will talk about. Now let's go through our Gemara to see each one of these inyanim. Where does it come from exactly? So we said, whoops. Don Rabbanan, the price expands on this. The Mokar, pre-Eitz Hadar. How do we know that an etrog is what we call an etrog? Obviously, we know because that's been the Misora for all of the generations that Klal Yisrael has taken an etrog. But where is the remez in the Torah? Tana Rabbanan, pre-Eitz Hadar. What is a pre-Eitz? Well, means the same thing it meant in Maaseh Bereishis. And what was an Eitz pre? Same thing as pre-Eitz. Eitz shatam, Eitz v'pri shaveh. Alon, alon, come back. So here too, it means pre-Eitz, the taste of the wood and the fruit is exactly the same. And the only thing that would be could be an etrog. Well, how do you know? I mean, maybe it means pepper. Pepper, the wood and the fruit taste the same. Kidatanya hayarebi meir omer. How do you explain the pasuk about the iser of orla? It's very strange because it says in the pasuk, unetatem kol eitz. Now, let's say, if it would have just said unetatem kol eitz, and it would not have said kol eitz ma'achal, what would you have said? That it's not referring to an eitz ma'achal? Listen to the rest of the pasuk. Pasuk goes like this. Okay, so first of all, we're obviously talking about peros. As far as there being edible peros, it continues on to say, so what do we think we're referring to over here, a pine tree? Obviously, we're talking about something which is le'yeachel. So why did they have to say netatem kol eitz ma'achal? Eini yodea shu eitz ma'achal. It's obvious that we're talking about an eitz ma'achal. So ma tamud lomar eitz ma'achal. Why then have to begin the pasuk by defining that we're only talking about an eitz machal. That's coming to tell me eitz machal, that the tree has to taste exactly like the pri. Why? You said that that's referring to the etrog before. And here Rebbe Meir says that when it's referring to orla, the chiddush over there is eitz shetam etrog pirior shaveh. What would that be? That could only be pilpulin. So those are peppercorns. So over there, there's a taste of pepper in the wood of the tree. And obviously the peppercorn, which is the fruit. And that must be what it's referring to. Now over here, we can't say it's referring to an etrog, because why would the Torah have to tell me an etrog differently than any other fruit? An etrog is an etrog. An apple is an apple. As a matter of fact, apples are called etrog, right? So that's the way that the Rishonim understand the Lashon of Kitapuach Batseayar is referring to an etrog. But in any event, it's got to be referring to something other than the etrog, which anybody would be included in being a fruit tree, any fruit tree, no? So it must be, therefore, Tainas Rebbe Meir, it's referring to pilpulin. L'lamedcha, to teach you that pilpul is chayev ba'orla. What's the chiddush? That pilpul is chayev ba'orla. So Rashi says the chiddush is that even though it's a low bush, and you might say it's not considered to be an eitz, that nonetheless, this is eitz as far as the Torah is defining orla. Tosfos takes great exception to that, because he says that what is the question of high or low? How does that enter into the definition of tree? A tree has a halachic definition that is based on whether it's something that survives from year to year, it continues to grow, and so on and so on. So why would I need a special limud for pilpulin? And Tosfos therefore learns that this relates to the sugya that we had in Yuma, where over there the question is, if you chew pilpul, you chew these peppercorns on Yom Kippur, whether that's considered to be the iser of eating on Yom Kippur. So over there the Gemara makes an afkamina between fresh and somewhat older peppercorns. So Tosfos Tainis is that that's gufo why, since by the time that we usually use these peppers, they're dried out and they're ground up. That's not considered to be a fruit. It's not something you could actually sit there and eat. And because of that, maybe it would be pater kamashmalan that even pepper is chayiv, but not because of Rashi's problem of its being low. Now, the truth is that legabe some inyanim, we do take into consideration the question of the low or the high. And so Rashi may be suggesting that legabe orla, the idea of the eitz that's expressed in terms of orla, which requires the ta'atem, and the whole idea over there is to settle Eretz Yisrael and to see that it's properly forested, so you might think that pilpul is not included. Okay, so this was Rashi's approach. And this teaches us, as Rebbe Meir, that pilpul is chayev and orla, and by the way, shows you that ein Eretz Yisrael chasera klum, the rest of the world is running around looking for silk roads to be able to import peppers, and it comes to living in Eretz Yisrael, you got everything, and you'll have pepper in Eretz Yisrael as well. Shenemar lo techsar kolba. And therefore, we should say that when it says pre eitz hadar, it's referring to peppers. So instead of taking a nice esrog, why don't you take some pepper for your lulav? How do you know it's an esrog if this is the remez? Says the Gemara, because how exactly would you take a pepper for an esrog? Tell me. Hatam mishum delo efshar can't possibly mean a pepper. Why not? But tell me how you would do it, okay? Practically speaking, heichi navi. Shall we take one pepper? I mean, that's lo minker alakichata. How can you say v'lakachtem, where your person can't even see what you're holding? So that doesn't fulfill the requirement of lakicha. What do you want to do? Take a handful of peppers and use that as your esrog? Treotlata, the Torah said pri. That's one, not perot. Echad amar rachmana v'lo shnayim shlosha pirot yilkach lo yafshe. So for sure, it can't be peppers for the lulav, and it can't be esrog for the orla. So therefore, we now know that there's two different inyanim. One is a pri, tamei etz ketama pri, in terms of esrog, and the other is tamei etz ketama pri, in terms of pilpul, legabe da halachas of orla. Rebbe says, I have a different approach. My approach is that the word, not pre-eats, that's your approach. I take the approach that the word hadar is the basis of it, and hadar can be read hadir. Hadir means a pen. So you have this pen with all of your animals in the pen. So what does an esrog have to do with a pen? Because only the esrog tree is like a pen that you would use for your sheep or your animals. Ma dir ze yesh bo gedolim uktanim tmimim ubalei mumim. Look, if you corral all of your animals together, so they have big, small, all kinds of different status. Achinami yesh bo gedolim uktanim tmimim ubalei mumim. What? What does that have to do with an esrog? Understand? Every tree, go pick an apples, okay, from an apple tree. Big apples, little apples, ugly apples, beautiful apples. I understand. Why is that an etrog? Any tree is like that. No. Rebbe meant to say is not gedolim v'ketanim in terms of size. Gedolim v'ketanim meaning last year's crop, which is now fully grown, together with this year's crop, which is small. That's what it's referring to. So it means that since the etrog stays on its tree year after year, if it isn't picked, so therefore the only tree that we could call a corral would be an etrog tree, because it's got the previous generations in there with the new generation, and that is similar to a pen. Rabbi Abahu Omer, what Rebbe is saying is true, but it's a little bit different. The word, you don't have to come on to deer. The word hadar can be read hadar, that which lives, keeps living on the tree. And that is davar shadar bilano mishana l'shana, and the etrog lives from one year to the next. You don't have to take it out of the basic meaning of the word hadar to turn it into hadir. Ben Azai Omer, Ben Azai says, forget about hadar. The correct way is to learn it as hydros. Hydros is water. So therefore, al tikre hadar ela gidur. The idur, this is the pronunciation in the Greeks that talk like Israelis. So they start calling hydros, hydros, you know. Just like the Israelis have lost the hay. So therefore, we call it hadar. It's actually better if you use the more accurate pronunciation. Hadar is hidro. So that means that the only tree that requires, in addition to typical rainfall, in order for it to grow its fruit properly, you need to add water. Ezu shegadol al kol mayim. That needs not only rain, but that you sprinkle it or water it. Avi Omer ze etrog. Okay, next. So we've got a number of different approaches to the remes to the etrog in the Torah. Barnea wants to tell us something.
That yeah. In Greek, it has a rough breathing mark, which means it has to be huh. It stresses it has to be huh, hadra, not ah.
Yes, I didn't say that people knew how to speak properly. I just said that's what happened. Okay, so this is the hydros, right? That's the remez to behave or that the world was created initially just with the hay, right? It's the hydros, okay. Shalasheirav v'shalir anidachat. It's possible. Why is that, my taima? Same reason. Kiven de l'sreif v'koi. Now, over here, of course, that's not so simple. Because when it came to the etrog, remember, we said that you have to be able to eat it. Because we said if it's orla, it's pasul. So over here, the question is, do we really need to come on to the question of Ktutei Bichtat Shiurei, or could we get away with something else? I understand the lulav is that way, but the shaila is whether this is really necessary for the etrog, or we're just making this part of the same klal that we had of all the other minim. Shel orla is possible. Why? Pligei bar Reb Chiya bar Avin Reb Asi. We don't know who said what, but we know that Woman Yomar said, Nafishein ba'et rachila. Since you can't eat it, and the Torah says, ulekachtem lachem, and in order for something, a fruit, to be considered to be yours, so fundamentally, that means you can eat the fruit. You can't eat the fruit, and it isn't really entirely your fruit, even if this is what we think now, even if it's technically your money, but it's not really your fruit. So therefore, if there's no heter achila, you can't call it lachem. The other approach is that since you don't own it, why don't you own it? Because you can't sell it, because it's osur ba'ana. So if it doesn't have any monetary value, how can it be called lachem? Ownership is defined by something that's got value, and therefore you cannot use that etrog. Now at this point, says the Gemara, Kasalka Daitav, we thought that these were mutually exclusive shitot. In other words, whoever it was that said heter achila is the defining point, he does not need for you to be able to sell it. And not necessarily you're called an owner in terms of the bank. It just means that it's your fruit, because fruit, the point is your ability to eat. And that's the only thing that concerns us. And vice versa, if the mandiyamar who says that it's a function of being able to bring it to your banker and take out a loan on it, which the price of a srogim today actually would justify, right? So you should be able to consider it to be your money. So then he doesn't need that you should be able to eat it. And lo boy heter achila. Now, if that's true, we've got a problem. Because if they're mutually exclusive, then we have a riot from the Mishnah. Because the Mishnah says, shok shruma tmeya is puzzle. Why would truma tmeya be puzzle? The only thing wrong with truma tmeya is that you can't eat it, right? So bishlam elaman yomel fishein by heter achila. Fine, then it works out. But if the problem is that you don't own it, you certainly do own truma tmeya. After all, Barnea heats his home with truma tmeya, so it's certainly worth a lot of good money, right? So if it's ein mahare mesika tafshitacha tafshilo, you could certainly, yes, I know. So you can certainly be mesika tacha tafshilo, you can certainly use it as a fuel to heat up your coffee in the morning, right? So why is that not mama? Okay, then it can't, you're right, there's no way to learn the Mishnah. It can't be that we've got a mutually exclusive machlokas. So it must be everybody's takes as a bare minimum. You for sure, you have to be able to eat it. That's for sure. Be'etar achila kuleyam lo plige de be'ina. Ki plige, the machlokas is, do you require also that there should be a monetary bailus on it? That's the question. So mar sover heta achila be'ina, but we don't need the din of mamon. Umar sover din mamon nami miboy. And what's going to be the nafkamina? Nafkamina is very definite, very practical nafkamina, because look, my benayu, ikabel, my sisheni should be Yerushalayim, alibi the Rebbe Meir. If you bring your my sisheni to Yerushalayim, can you eat it? Absolutely. Is it considered to be yours? Could you use it to be Makadish and Isha? Not according to Rabbi Meir, because Rabbi Meir holds that it's considered to be Mamain Gavoa, and therefore it's not your, you don't have a bilus on it. That would be a tremendous nafkamina. So, Liman Diomar, Yesh Bahet Rachila, fine, Yesh Bahet Rachila, because you're allowed to eat by Zusheni Nushalayim. But according to Rabbi Meir, my Zusheni is Mamon Gavoa, and therefore wouldn't be kosher. So now we understand the machlokas. Do I need, everybody agrees you need roi l'achila. Question is, do I also need that it should be mine? Now, we didn't say who it was that we said. One said. But I can prove to you who it was that said that you need a din mamon. It's got to be Rabasi. Tistayim de Rabasi de Amar l'fisha ein bo din mamon. The Omer Rabasi et rok shom aser sheni l'diver Rabbi Meir ein adam yotzi bo yedei chovato b'yom tov l'diver chachamim adam yotzi bo yedei chovato. Here beferish Rav Asi explains exactly this point, namely that the nafkamino between Rabbi Meir and the Chachamim would be in terms of the kashrus of Meiser Sheni, because according to Rabbi Meir, it's Maman Gavoa. I can eat it, doesn't matter, it's Maman Gavoa. So therefore, it would make that nafkamina. Now, since it's Rav Asi who claims that this is the nafkamina, he obviously holds that the difference between holding that Meiser Sheni is Maman Gavoa is the difference in whether you're going to be Yotzei with your Esra. So he must be the one who holds that it's critical that it should also be your money in the bank. To Stein, that is, yes, 100%. That's a good read, right? By the way, just what he said, I'd like to just take a look at Rav Asi more closely. Gufa. Omer Rav Asi. Now, here's the crazy part. Rav Asi also says that matzah of Meiser Sheni, according to Rabbi Meir, you're not going to be Yotzei Yechiv of eating matzah. What? Where in the world does it say that matzah is supposed to belong to you? This is wild. Nobody ever heard such a thing. It doesn't say, ulakachtem lechem matzah, or vachaltem matzatchem. It just says, to eat lechem only. I don't get it. All right, the Gemara is going to have to figure that out. Why did Rav Asi say, l'divrei chachamim adam yotzei yedei chovato b'pesach? And there's another nafkamina, says Rav Asi. Isa shel ma'aser sheni, l'divrei Rabbi Meir p'turim min hachala. Because it's not arisotechem. So you don't have to take off the challah if you're making a dough with Meiser Sheni, which is, wow, quite a chiddush. L'divrei chachamim, it would be chayav. Matkiflor of Papad, hold on a second over here. I understand the extension to Isa. It says, Reshit arisotechem. Arisotechem means it's got to be yours. I understand the etrog. It says, Olakachtem lachem. I understand that means Mishalachem. But matzah, where does it say in the Torah, matzatchem? Omar Rabba Bar Shmuel, or some say Rabbi Yemar Bar Shalmaya, that actually this is based on Gzeres Shava. The matzah is called lechem oni. So atya lechem lechem. So over here, by the chiyuv of matzah, it says matzah lechem oni. And by the chiyuv of arisotechem, it says vayaba achalchem milechem haaretz. So just like over there, it has to be the arisotechem, mishalachem, velo mishal maaser. Therefore, the gzereshava to the lechem is mechayevas that the matzah on Pesach is mishalachem velo mishal maaser. Wow. Can we bring a raya from this braita? Lema misayeale, isa shel maaser sheni ptura min achala, divrei Rabbi Meir, v'chachomim omrim chayeves b'chala. What are you, crazy? Can we bring a raya? It's word for word what Rav Asi said. What kind of raya? Just say, the braita says what Rav Asi said. Lema misayeli. What is that supposed to mean? That's exactly what he said word for word. It's not a raya. No. Obviously, what I mean is that can we actually say that this braita proves Rav Asi's contention on all three cases? That in the same way that the braita says beferish, that the machlokas about whether mamon gavoa or not is nogea chala, would that mean that by definition Rav Asi is right, and it would be true about matzah, and it would be true about the etrog? That's what I want to know. So Ella, what the point we were saying is me the behop pligi, ba nami pligi, Should we say that since we find that indeed when it comes to challah, there's a machlokas between the Chachamim and Rabbi Meir, so there must be the same machlokas, binogea maaser sheni of matzah or maaser sheni of etrog? Or Dilmar, maybe this is a special case of Isa. Why? Because over there the Torah repeats the word arisotechem two times. So maybe the Braita is saying that in a case where the Torah is makpid on arisotechem, it goes beyond the norm and it's saying that it has to be your money, but it doesn't repeat lakachem lachem by esrog or by the matzah. So maybe over there it's not the same, and maybe it doesn't hold of the hekesh of the gzera shava. So it's not 100% a raya. We say lemon b'sayyale. Then the Mishnah says truma tameya you can't use. Why? Well, because we said everybody agrees you have to be able to eat it. You can't eat truma tameya even if you're a kohen. And now for some crazy reason, shel truma tahara lo yito. What in the world is wrong with using truma tahara for your esrog? Pligi bar rabami v'rabasi. Chad omer mipnei shemach shira. Remember that the Torah says that there's a mishmeret trumotai. Mishmeret trumotai means you have to be very careful to make sure that your truma doesn't become pasul. The problem is that when you take your lulav in the morning, it is wet, because you always put it into water to make sure that it doesn't get kamush with its minim. You wrap it in a towel or whatever your trick is, but there's definitely got to be a trick. So it's a little bit damp. That means that when you take the esrog together with your lulav, you're going to get the esrog wet. And if you get the esrog wet, you're being makshir the kabal tuma. And to be makshir something with kabal tuma is not exactly the best way to be shamer on your truma that it shouldn't become tame, now is it? So you'll be over on mishmeret truma time. Therefore, this is not what you should be taking. That's the point. That's one approach. V'chadam erbipnesha mafsidah. The other shot is that when you hold an esrog, so you're always, b'meshech hazman, the esrog starts to turn brown. That's called mishmush yad, as I'm sure you've seen. If you overhandle your etrog, then especially if an etrog is being used by a lot of different people, so then it starts turning brown. If it turns brown, then people get turned off by it. They don't want to eat it. So then you're going to be mafsid the truma, and being mafsid the truma is also a iser when it comes to the din of mishmeret. Now, why doesn't he hold mipnei shemach shira? Apparently, because he doesn't hold that hechsher is a problem. Only actual being metami is a problem. The chashash that since it's mukshir, it's more likely to become tam. That's not enough of a chashash. Okay, what's the nafkamina? The nafkamina is very simple. Let's say that you called the truma of the etrog beferish, you said, I want the inside of the etrog to be truma, but not the outside of the etrog. So the peel I'm keeping for myself. So over there, if you're mafsid, you're only being mafsid the peel. But as far as being makshir a kabal tuma, obviously you're being makshir the entire fruit to be makabal tuma. So we've got a problem, even if the outside isn't truma. But there's no problem. So cut off that part and have the rest of it. You have this perfectly good etrog fruit. Okay, next. If you did take it, so then it's kosher. Well, that's obvious, because no matter what approach you take, b'diavad, it's going to be kosher. L'man di'amra b'pnei she'en b'heter achila, yesh b'heter achila, l'man di'amra l'fi she'en b'din momen, yesh b'din momen. The only problem is these chashoshes, whatever, okay, but you did it, you did it. It's certainly kosher. Now, shel demai. So we said, Beit Shammai says it's pasul, Beit Hillel says it's kosher. Why does Beis Hillel say it's kosher if you're not allowed to eat the demai? Because kivan di iboi mafkelu l'nichse v'aviyani ashtanami lachem karina be. Remember, we have this general halacha that aniyim are allowed to be eating demai. So therefore, if you would be mafker everything you own, then you would be an ani, and you would be allowed to eat demai. In which case, it's biyotcha to eat d'may. Now, obviously, this is not a absolutely necessary requirement that you should be mafkir your nechasim. Because when we said that you could be yotze with truma, did we say only a kohen can be yotze with truma? No. We said anybody can be yotze with truma. Why? Because since it's roy for a kohen, it's considered to be a bar ma'achal. So if that's the case over here too, since it is ra'ui for eating, so then it should be considered to be ma'achal. How is it roy for eating? For an ani, it would be roy. So, okay, but we're being marked. Even you could eat it. So it's considered to be lachem. Ditznan machilin et ha'aniyim d'may v'etachsanyai d'may. Dachsanyai are the soldiers that are being bivouacked in your homes and so on. You have to take care of them. So over there, you're allowed to utilize d'may that you bought from an amoritz. You're allowed to utilize for that purpose. Beit Shammai. But Shammai holds it, and Ani is not allowed to eat d'may. D'tan says in the Mishnah d'may. Machilan adimimai v'tzachsanayin d'may. And Ravuna explains that Tan and the Brighter, Beit Shammai omrimim, machilin etanim d'may v'tzachsanayin d'may, Beit Hillel omrim, machilan etzadimim d'may v'tzachsanayim d'may. So then when it's said in the Mishnah, shel ma'aser sheni shebirushalayim, so then, why should you not take it lechatchila if it's roi lachila for you? Because there would be a problem being makshir the ma'aser sheni too, because then you won't be able to eat it. The same mishmer trumotai is b'shtei trumot, and therefore also includes ma'aser sheni. And you're not allowed. You're supposed to be shomer on ma'aser sheni too. So therefore, lechatchila don't take it. But if you did take it, it's kosher. Why not? Why wouldn't it be kosher? L'man diyom repnei shein b'yatar achila, yesh b'yatar achila. So then everybody, divrei hakol, agree it's b'yatar achila. L'man diyom lefi she'ein b'din momon, it would only work out alibi the rabbanon, because according to Rabbi Meir, since it's momon gavoh, it doesn't have din momon. So we say that the Mishnah is going alibi the Rabbi Meir. And then we said, Alta chazazit, if it was on Ruba, it's kosher. Omrev chisid over zeh rabbeinu ha'gadol amaro, ha'makom yeh b'ezro. Rav said this, and Hashem should help him, that his psak should be makubal, halacha l'maisa, and that is, loshono ela b'mokom echad. It's only where you had these chazaziyot, all in one area. So they make a big impact of a b'shnayim, shloshim makomot kasher, if it's spread out, it's kosher. Omale Rava, like we had before, Anarava, Bishnaim Shloshim Mikomot, I've like a Minumaru Pasol. The reason that it would be Pasol is only because it's Minumar. And therefore, Bedavka, if it's all in one place, it would be kosher. Sorry, Ela Idmar, a Seifa Idmar. He said this on the last part of the Mishnah, which says, if the Chazazit is only Al Mi'uto, so then it's kosher. Omer Rav Chista, that's where Rav Chista said, where is it kosher al miuto? Dover zeh rabbeinu ha'gadol amarov ha'mokom yeh b'ezro. It's only kosher if it's all b'mokom echad, but if it's spread out, b'shnayim v'shlosha mikomot, then it's like a menumer esrog and it would be pasul. And Rava says, al chotamo afilo b'mashu nami pasul. Now, what exactly is the chotamo? Is a machlokas rishonim. The maisa, halacha lemaisa, what we paskin is that from the area that the etrog starts going towards its top, that entire area is considered to be chotamo. And over there, we're very machped that even a small chazazik will pasel. But the truth is, not all the Rishonim agree to that. Rashi's pshat is that the area of the Chotam is not the entire area, it's the ridge itself where the Etrog starts to curve upwards. That's the Mashmos of Rashi. It's other Rishonim, the Ran, who holds that it's the entire Chotam, which is what we're makbid on. And according to the Rambam, the Chotam is only the part by the Pitim itself is called the Chotam. So It's not so possible, not so partial that it's possible, but certainly that's how we're knowing. Nitla pitmato, if the pitum was taken out, Tana Reb Yitzchok ben Elazar, this is nitla buchmato. So now the question is, what is the buchna? Now this is where we get into the problem of whether the buchna might be referring to the oketz, which Rashi brings from his Rebbe. But the pashtus is that the buchna, what a buchna is, a pestle. And a pestle goes into a mortar. So the buchna, what it would mean is, as opposed to the shoshanta, as opposed to the little bud on top, the rounded piece, this is referring to the flat piece that goes inside the esrog, the way that a mortar, the way that the pestle goes into a mortar, and therefore it's called buchnato. But if just the shoshanta was removed, it wouldn't be a problem. However, halacha lemaisa, we end up being makpid on both, like Rashi's Rebbe. And so some learn that this nitla buchnato is a different pshat in the Mishnah. In other words, pitmato, and he said, no, not pitmato, buchnato, which would be the oketz. And then it would mean if you removed the part of the oketz that sticks inside of the etrog, the way that a pestle sticks into the mortar, so then it would be possible. So we end up asking both. If the piece of wood underneath the shoshanta was missing, so then the esrog is possible. That's the nitla pitmato. If the shoshanta alone is missing, as I mentioned to you earlier, the Ramah says, best to have it, but if the esrog that you're going to be using as an alternative with the buchna, with the shoshanta, is not as pretty as this esrog, then it's not kedai to lose out on the prettier esrog just for the chumrah of having the shoshanta. That's how the Rambam paskins. Now, the question is, what about the oketz? So the oketz, if the entire oketz falls out, which is like a pestle being removed from the mortar, so there we're makbid, like Rashi explains over here, and that would be the equivalent of nitla buchnato, according to that pshat, and would be pasul. If the oketz is missing up to the skin of the etrog, so the outer part of the stem is missing, so then that is considered to be kosher, even according to the pshat in Rashi's Rebbe, and that we're not makbid on.